Good morning. So, before we open God's Word, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we give thanks unto Thee for our Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for one who would give His all for us, that we might have eternal life. And we pray, Lord, as we open Thy Word, meditate upon it, that Thou wouldst bless and encourage us in Thy ways. Again, we lift up those that are in need this morning. We do pray for Ruth. We do pray that Thou wouldst draw nigh unto her and keep her in comfort. We look to Thee that Thou wouldst bless us as we open Thy Word now. We give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, good morning. We normally I'm up here. There's a chart up here, but it's not my turn to do the chart. It's Jordan's turn to do the chart next week. But I was chosen to fill in between times, and I'm trying to think of, well, what am I going to speak about? So I chose something to speak about, and as I'm going through it, I'm thinking, but that could be on the chart. So anyway, we'll speak about something about it, and then we'll see what the Lord does. One of the things that I noticed is that whenever Mr. Johnson has all the people come up here, he calls it a flash mob. And what I see when I see a whole bunch of people up here is I see a whole bunch of young Christians that have got on that narrow road that's on the chart. And I'm really glad to see so many people who have professed faith in Christ, and they are on that narrow road leading to heaven. But the question I have, though, is what's next? What are you going to do now? You say you're on that road that leads to heaven. So what are you going to do with that life now? The Lord Jesus gave His all for you to get you on that road. You've taken it, you've chosen it, you've got Christ as your Savior, but what are you going to do with the life now that God has given you? And that's kind of what I wanted to look at a little bit this morning, was the treasures that we have. So what I want to do is turn to look at a man that's in the Scriptures. His name is Hezekiah. When we read about Hezekiah, we read about a man who did what's known as what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did what was right, and also he won a victorious battle. God saved him from a battle when, what was the guy's name, Sennacherib, however you say that. He was defying the God of Israel, and he sent an angel to deliver Hezekiah. But I want to read about near the end of his life in 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. We'll read it, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and we'll start at verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. Now, let me stop there momentarily. What happened was Hezekiah got sick unto death, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer, and he honored his prayer. So what he did was God said that he would give Hezekiah 15 more years to live. And not only that, but he gave him a sign that he would actually do it. The sign was that he would turn the sundial back 10 degrees, which basically, if you figure it out, is they say it's about 40 minutes. So he turned the clock back, as it were, 40 minutes, something that would be impossible to do, right? Although I guess that maybe that's the original daylight savings time. But God blessed him that way. So verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. So it says Hezekiah rendered not according to the benefit done unto him. So God blessed Hezekiah with 15 extra years, but Hezekiah didn't render to God the benefit that was given unto him. And I was thinking to myself, how much of us render unto God the benefit that has been given to us? How much of us realize what God has really done for us to extend our life? I mean, he may have extended our lives physically, just like I'm still alive. But he's also given us eternal life, which is going to go on forever. And he's given it to us at the cost of his own son. But have we ever rendered unto God a thankfulness, an appreciation to show what he has done for us? So Hezekiah, he didn't render unto God. And the question is, do we? We don't want to be like Hezekiah. So verse 27. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all the manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance for God, for God had given him substance very much. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. So we can see that God blessed him in those 15 years. He's got great wealth, got great riches. And then let's look down at verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. So what we read is something happened, which we can read about in 2 Kings chapter 20. And I'll read it here, 2 Kings 20, in verse 12, it says, "And at that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointments and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. So what happened was, these men from Babylon came, and he showed them all his treasures. There was nothing he wasn't proud of. He showed them everything. He was proud to have gotten all those things over the years. And in actuality, it was as though he thought he earned them. He did something to get them. And he showed them all his treasures. But it says that God tried him because he didn't help him at that time. He tried him to see what he would do, what was really in his heart. And I wonder sometimes, what is in our heart? If God has blessed you with treasures, where's your heart with them? Reminds me of the rich farmer that was prosperous that one year. And he had all kinds of goods and fruit. And he says, What am I going to do with them? I don't know. I'll build bigger barns, and I'll put all my fruit in there. And I'll live and be, you know, merry for the rest of my life. Eat, drink, and be merry, he said. But then God took away his life. He didn't give God any credit for any of those treasures that prosperous year. He didn't give God any of the credit. So where's our hearts? And where's our treasures? When it comes to the things of God, where's your heart? When it comes to the assembly, where is your heart? You know, I can remember the assembly we went to years ago. It was about 1983, 84, somewhere in there. We were in a one-room schoolhouse. And God was blessing us those years, and the assembly grew. And it got to the point where we outgrew it. So we finally decided to build a new building. And we built a new building. It was very accommodating. For many years, it was accommodating. But I can always remember this one elder. Whenever we had visiting preachers, the preachers would come, and he would give them a tour. He'd say, look at what we did here, how nice that is, or maybe how the kitchen is laid out. It was nice and accommodating. He'd point out all the nice features of the hall. And I'd think to myself, but it's just a building. But that was his treasure. His treasure was the building. And I kept thinking to myself, wouldn't that treasure be much better if you could point out what the assembly building is doing, the people? Wouldn't it be better if you could go around and show, you know, we have a sister here that's doing a Bible club at school. And it's been very, very good. You hear the stories that are coming out of there, the gospel's going out, and people are hearing it. Or maybe you could hear, you know, we have the farmer's market going, and there's people actually taking God's word. Some of them are asking questions. Some of them are taking God's word and getting encouraged. We've gotten some feedback occasionally. But you can show God's building is the people, and they're doing things for God. You know, we also support missionaries. There's a whole lot of people out there that have given their lives away from the comforts that we enjoy so they can give God's word out, so the people can hear God's word and get saved. And here we can sit back in comfort, quietness. We don't have the bombs going all around us like they do in the Ukraine. But there are people out there serving God. And what are we doing here? Are we supporting them in any way? Are we praying for them? We should be. There could be children's work of all kinds going on. I don't ever want to be the one that's going around giving a tour of the building. I want to be the one that says, this is what the people in the assembly are doing for God. So where is your treasure and where is your heart? I want to read in Matthew chapter 6. We're on that narrow road. And you know, if you think about that broad road, all those people are gathering treasures, but they're going to get burned. They're going to be gone. We're on the narrow road, and we're supposed to be laying up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Lord is trying to exhort us to lay up treasures for things in heaven. We have a whole eternity before us. We need to lay up things that are going to be beneficial when we get into eternity. If you ever want to know what's in somebody's treasures or what's in somebody's heart, look at their treasures. What are they showing you? What are they talking about? You know, there was a couple weeks ago, I have a brother that lives in North Carolina, and he was up this way visiting. So he went over to my other brother's house, which is Delavan, which isn't far from here, and I went over there to visit so I could say hello to him because I haven't seen him in a while. So they're all Christians. may have a little bit of a different background, but they're all saved. So when I first got there, what did the conversation go to? What do you think the conversation went to?
Kids.
No. No, they went to our aches and pains because they're all getting older. But after a while, my sister-in-law says, "Can you all tell me how you got saved?" It was a nice conversation. But but the thought came to me, oh, we're on that road that goes to heaven. Our conversation should be more towards heaven. But the nice thing was that nobody was ashamed to tell how they got saved. And I know we've had bonfires at times, and we'd gather our chairs around a bonfire, and every so often you could get the Christians to say, "How did you get saved?" and have a testimonial, just an idea of the enjoyment you can have around the Lord, around what he's done for each and every one of us. And it's a great thing to listen to hear other people talk about the Lord. Obviously, there's going to be small talk. We all have small talk once in a while. But is that all that we ever talk about? Is that the only thing that ever seems to come up in conversation? You know, what games you're playing, what sports you're playing, or what you're listening to. Do you ever talk about the scriptures and the things that are in the Bible? Or how the Lord has blessed you in some way? There's just so many things that we as Christians need to spend more time with the Lord and with the other Christians around the Lord. So what is our treasures? What do we really like to do? You know, the hardest part I would say about growing up as a Christian, now I was saved when I was almost 18. Never heard the gospel before I got saved, hardly at all. But after I got saved, I got into the Sunday school, and I started hearing all the stories and all the other stuff. And every year we had a Sunday school picnic. And every year I would go to the Sunday school picnic and have a great time. It was just nice having all those games and winning prizes and whatever. But you know, as you get older, and the older folks in the assembly are like getting, like I am now, a little more decrepit, but you have to start taking over some of the things that they did. And I have to admit, you know, I started organizing the games. And I'd start trying to do what I can to make it fun and invite people and whatever. I didn't get to enjoy the games anymore. I was doing all the work. You know, it's really hard sometimes to give up fun to do the Lord's work. It really is. But you know something? It's for the Lord. We were hearing this morning already about how important it is to get the gospel out. And that's what the Sunday school picnic really is. It's a gospel outreach. How many times did you go to a Sunday school picnic and you'll see people that have never been in this building all year long, but you'll see them at the picnic? It's a gospel outreach. We should be praying for those that come. Granted, we're going to have fun. And you get to an age in which you're not having fun anymore. You're doing all the work. But God needs workers. He needs people that are willing to do his work. We should be servants more than consumers of the things of God. God wants so much to see people saved. And he's given us the privilege to be able to speak to other people in some way. It doesn't mean you have to go out and preach all the time. Just your life itself can speak to people. We're on that narrow road. We want to bring people with us. And God wants so much more people to come with us as well. So laying up treasures in heaven. I'm going to read another verse in Matthew 6 and 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, mammon is just another word for riches or treasures and things like that. So he's saying here, we can't serve both. Because if you serve one, you're going to actually hate the other, which sounds kind of funny, but I got to thinking about this. How many times has there been an opportunity, let's say, on a Wednesday night to do something like play volleyball? And you think to yourself, I can't play volleyball, I have to go to church because of Bible study. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's ever crossed your mind that way, you've just hated Bible study. Because you really want to be playing volleyball. That's what God's word is saying, is if you serve one, you're hating the other. And if your heart is in volleyball, you're hating God's word. Even though you might go to the Bible study, even though you might go to the prayer meeting, your heart would rather be in volleyball. And what God is saying here is you can't serve both. I know we try. It's very wanting to do both, to enjoy the things of this world and to enjoy the things of God. But God says you can't serve both. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 24, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, or the Messiah, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Here we have an example of Moses, brought up under Pharaoh with all kinds of riches, all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of education. But where was his heart? His heart was to be with God. His heart was to do what he could do with his people, Israelites. And he would not bow to the Pharaoh's ways. His treasure was with the people of God. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, that's something too. To suffer affliction with the people of God. There will be afflictions if you're going to serve God. So where's your favorite treasures? Paul was encouraging Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word." What kind of word? What's your language like? Do you use a lot of slang? Use a lot of terminology that really is inappropriate? In conversation, which is basically your conduct, how do you conduct yourselves before others, especially the unbelievers? In charity. To me, charity is love in action. You can always say you love somebody, you can always say that you care about somebody, but do you ever put it in action? That's charity. In spirit, enthusiasm. If you're going to do something for God, do you do it enthusiastically? Or is it like, here, you know. He's encouraging Timothy. In faith, doing things for God and trusting he'll bless it. In purity, that's both in acts and in motives. Do we have pure motives for when we do something for the Lord? He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." What do you read? I know there's a book club. What do you read? Is it is it got value to it? So God is saying, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. How much do we help one another? There's all of us go through trials at times. All of us do. There's nothing special about any one of us that thinks we're above anybody else. We all go through trials of various sorts. What would it take to exactly exhort somebody to say, look it, the Lord's going to be here soon. Just hang in there. Keep on going. We're all on the same boat, as it were, trying to reach that final destination of home in heaven. And give attendance to doctrine. The Lord's teaching us how to gather. He's teaching us how we can keep close to the Lord in remembrance. So he's telling us many things. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. God has given you a gift. Are you using it? What is your gift? I don't know what your gift may necessarily be. I may suggest some things based upon what I know about you. But what are you doing with it? Neglecting it? Using it for God? Using it for self? Then he says, meditate upon these things. Think about it. Just give it a few thoughts. What do you read in God's Word that you can meditate on and enjoy? Something that you might even be able to share with somebody else. We can all use a little bit of encouragement once in a while. And meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. I do remember a time in my life that, when I was a lot younger, that I did start spending more time in God's Word. And I was enjoying some things, and every so often, you know, kind of person I was, very timid, I would actually get up and actually say something to somebody or say something in the meeting. And people noticed it. I didn't notice it. But somebody said something to me one time. He says, we can tell you're really reading God's Word now. And I thought that was an encouragement. That actually, what I didn't realize people could see in me, they were seeing. That I was actually helping them. When you spend time in the Word, when you spend time with the Lord, your life is going to show it. You can count on it. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. There's just so much that we could spend time doing for the Lord. And I don't know what kinds of things you might be interested in doing. I know years ago, you know, the farmer's market, the texts we give out, we actually were at the fair one time for a few years. And we had a lot of fun with that because a lot of the saints participated in that. And we made all kinds of things for people to do. We had a microscope, the smallest Bible in the world. It was on a chip. Very, very, very small. You get the microscope and you look in there and the whole thing was there. It's like, how could you possibly get the whole Word of God on a little chip that you could see from a microscope? And you didn't have to flip pages. It was all there laid out. And we had people coming in looking at that. And we could give them some tracts and some texts. And one person, they made a big cutout of Goliath with a hole in the head. And we took the bean bag and said, here, see if you can toss this right through his head. And then he could win a prize. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do if enough people get together and work together for the Lord. It was work. It was actually fun. You know, the young folks, they get together and they do a lot of things together. But if they actually got together and did something for the Lord, I think you would enjoy it. I think you would enjoy it. There's a lot of things we can do. We have to remember that, you know, the time is short. I can't believe how fast time is flying. You know, I just think back to a lot of things over the years. You know, the year 2000, we were worried about Y2K, and it's 25 years past that already. It was just, it's not going to be long before all of us are in eternity. Time is flying. What are we doing with it? We've been put on that narrow road. God has done something really great for us, and he gave his son. He gave the very best of his heart. You're on that road now. What are you going to do with your life? Because it's almost over. We can either give the gospel out and hope to see souls saved and brought with us, or we could spend it on ourselves, have a little fun in this life, and have nothing for us when we get to eternity. What are we doing with the life that God has given us? The treasures. What is our treasure? We have to remember this earth is a sinking ship. I've been told this when I was being spoken to about my soul. The earth is a sinking ship and we're all on it. We need to get off. And I thought to myself, it's just like the Titanic. You know, you're on the Titanic, it's going down, there's no question about it. You know it's going down. And what if you knew you had a lifeboat waiting for you while there's a whole bunch of other people around you going, I don't know what you're talking about. And instead you go play shuffleboard. You know, you can play shuffleboard or you can get other people aware that the ship is going down. God has given us a life. We need to use it for him. We need to get the gospel out. We need souls to be saved, to come with us. Hezekiah did many good things for God in the beginning of his life, but then he let pride get to him. God blessed him. He had all kinds of riches, all kinds of wealth, all kinds of stuff, and he shows all that pride, all those treasures to Babylon. And God took it away from him. That's where his heart was. His heart was in the treasures of the world. We don't want to be like Hezekiah in that sense. I want to leave you with a couple of final thoughts. It says in Isaiah 55, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You can be sure whatever you hand out as far as God's word, whether it's a literal verse that you gave somebody, a word, even your actions can be part of God's word. It doesn't return unto God void. Whatever you can do for God, he notices it, and it won't return void. We read in 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're doing it for God, it'll never be vain. Never. Whatever you do, God notices it, and he sees it, and he appreciates it. I was thinking about what the Lord says to Peter in John 21. Jesus just got done telling Peter to follow him. And Peter sees John off in the distance and says, Lord, what's he going to do? And the Lord says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. Don't start worrying about what everybody else is doing or not doing. If God has laid something on your heart to do something for him, do it with all your might. And don't worry about everybody else. Because I'll tell you right now, most people will not follow you. Most people will not jump into whatever you have in your mind that you might want to do. It's just the way life is. Don't worry, he says to Peter, don't worry about John. Just follow me. John had his own things to do. We have our own things to do. Granted, it's nice to do things with other believers, but don't let it stop you if no one else is going to help you. So, in conclusion, I guess I'm going to say that we had a flash mob of young people here. They're getting to an age in which they're going to be responsible for God's assembly, for God's testimony that's left here. We're on that narrow road. What are we going to do with our life now? Are we going to give it to God? Are we going to render to God the benefits he gave us? And those benefits are eternal life. He gave Hezekiah 15 extra years. And Hezekiah did not render unto him the benefits. But we still can. What are we going to do with our life now? Let's give God some glory. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we give thanks unto thee for our Lord Jesus. We thank thee for one who gave his all. He could give no more. And we pray, Lord, that in our lives we might show forth an appreciation, a thankfulness, a graciousness for what he has done for us. We do pray that thou hast blessed us as we part, encourage our hearts, be with us through the day. Again, we pray for Ruth, that thou hast continued to be with her. And we just thank thee for thy kindnesses to us in that worthy and precious name. Amen.